flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Final hour, Jones and Keith, WEEI. That was Josh McDaniels on the Games with Names podcast, Julian Edelman. I do think that's something Josh deserves credit for, and that's something that I feel good about with McDaniels. On balance, I don't love the hire, but that's something I'll give him. I don't think he's going to overload a young quarterback, and there's something to be said about his track record with developing these young quarterbacks. I think he did a good job developing them, like bringing them along. I don't know that he turned any of them into great or really even good quarterbacks. Is Garoppolo even good?
I don't think so.
Okay, like, think of Castle.
Garoppolo even went to Shanahan, and it was, I mean, they got to a Super Bowl, so you could argue it that he was good. But like,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't think he's that good.
But in terms of bringing them along, and I'm going to manage them, and when they get out there on the field, I'm not going to overwhelm. Jacoby Brissett won his first start. Jimmy Garoppolo looked great for six quarters in New England. Matt Castle had a winning year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of those things. Stidham would be an example that didn't work out so well for him, a young quarterback that he tried to bring along, but that was a fourth-round pick. Mack is another one of those. So that is something I feel good about with McDaniels. I don't think he's going to look at it and say, all right, Drake, it's year two. Here's everything I know. I'm going to throw it all at your feet, and you're just going to have to run with it. No. You're going to start over again from square one. New offense, new language for Drake May. And I think he's not going to overwhelm him. I wonder if Van Pelt knew how to do that. On the one hand, I think May developed pretty well, as did Joe Milton, it appeared, on Van Pelt's watch. But then you wonder if they threw too much at him or knew even what to throw at him. When McDaniels says that, that's something I'll give him. I think that'll be good for Drake May.
Yeah, and both these guys, Vrabel and McDaniels, out of the league for a year. And I mean, Vrabel was technically like a consultant or whatever the Browns, but
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like those
not
guys,
coaching, yeah.
Those guys that have been in it for so long and their routine, and either as a head coach or a coordinator of a team for so long, and then to step away from it. And I wonder at some point if both thought maybe a reunion here would be possible, just the way that season was shaping up, and be like, all right, where are they going to turn next? So I bet they've both kind of considered Drake May, coaching Drake May, what that might be like, how they could have success. What are some things that they would do again? What are some things that they would change about the way they coached or, you know, worked with young players, specifically young quarterbacks in Josh's case? Because Drake May, I feel like one of the reasons why the job was so intriguing is a guy can come in there, he can do, he can play the position in a few different ways. And so it's got to be appealing to an offensive mind. Be like, all right, I did this with Brady because it was Brady. Like, I tried to do this with Cam Newton because it was Cam Newton. I tried to do this with Mac Jones because it was Mac Jones. At least with Drake May, you're like, all right, I'm coming in here and the ceiling is high. It's the highest it has ever been for a player that he has coached, not named Tom Brady.
I want to get to your numbers. The Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department did a good job researching this.
Working overtime.
So I they're worth hitting on again because I think they're interesting. But just real quick, something that I wonder about, and I'm not saying Josh McDaniels is like picking players. Do you have any fear that McDaniels, maybe you view it as a good thing, meaning the listeners out there and Rich as well. Do you have any fear that McDaniels is going to look at Ramondre, who he's coached, Hunter Henry, who he's coached, Kendrick Bourne, who he got a career year out of, and maybe I'm missing some others, offensive lineman, Andrews and Amwenu and things like that. Do you have any fear he's going to look at it? And not that he's picking the players, but Vrabel goes, what do you think of these guys? And he's like, I can make it work with Ramondre, Henry, Bourne. Do you think that makes the offense too, there'll be too much carryover and too much of the same players back here next year because McDaniels has experience with them? Are you worried about that at all?
Well, No, not necessarily, because I think they know that they have to make changes. They know that the offensive line, for example, is not good enough. So you're going to have to beef that up. And there's nobody, I'm sure, that McDaniels is going to say, got to keep these guys. Like, so that is going to be a problem that needs to get fixed. I think even with the receivers, I think he got a pretty good year out of Kendrick Bourne.
He did. But nothing legitimately, I think it was a career year out of Bourne.
Yeah, but not to the extent that, like, we're good there. Hunter Henry, he used really well. He had, I think, 9 touchdowns that year. It was his best touchdown year. So he has that. Ramondre, hopefully, you know, maybe you have another guy with him and you can kind of split those carries. You don't have to lean on him. I think he knows those guys, but he also probably knows just how much you can really get out of it. And I don't think Mike Vrabel's going to sit there where, you know, he had his most success in Tennessee with A.J. Brown. Go back and look. The year without A.J. Brown, not great. The 3 years with him, really, really good. The 2 years after he left, really, really bad. I think Mike Vrabel knows the importance of a real number one, and there's no way Josh McDaniels could spin it like Bourne and Henry, like, and Stevenson are number one.
Well, but like options. For instance, maybe not number ones, but with Bourne specifically, because Henry and Stevenson, you could make a case. Bourne specifically, hey Josh, what do you think of Kendrick Bourne as our slot guy? Your slot guy is key to the offense. What do you think of Bourne as our slot guy? And he goes, yeah, I can make it work with him. He got 800 yards, 55 catches, 5 touchdowns that year, his first year in New England in 2021. As opposed to looking at it and saying, we got to get Luther Burden in the draft, who I like, or we got to go get Cooper Kupp via trade, or if he's cut by the Rams, go get Cooper. Like,
all right, so
really
what
prioritizing that role, I'm a little fearful of that, but maybe that's way down the list of my issues with McDaniels.
Correct me if I'm wrong. What was one of the first moves made by the Raiders when they got Josh McDaniels?
Wasn't it
Davante Adams? Didn't they trade a first round pick or a second round pick? Or no, one and a two.
Well. Yeah, I don't remember the timeline of that.
I'm pretty sure.
Was Myers year two with McDaniels?
Yeah, might have been.
Okay, so maybe I have that wrong. Davante Adams.
I'm pretty sure they got Davante Adams. So he said, look, I'm not going to try to find the next Deion Branch or Troy Brown. I'm going to go out and get the best wide receiver in the NFL.
And you brought this up off the air. I don't think you said it on the air yet today. When he was in Denver, he drafted Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker.
Yeah, so everybody points to Tebow. And again, that was a bad first-round pick. And blowing up, you know, the Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall duo that he inherited. But he did draft two receivers, and one of them was in the first round. In fact, that was a spot that the Patriots traded down from. Remember, they went from, I think, 21 to 24. They passed on Demaryius Thomas and Dez Bryant, and then they took Devin McCourty. I mean, all three were really good players. But he wanted a first-round pick wide receiver. And I think he's much lower on the list, too, when it comes to, like, roster say-so. But that, to me, is promising. Bill did it one way. But McDaniels and his chances, first-round pick wide receiver and trade a first and a second for a receiver.
Good point. And you're right. Devontae was year one with McDaniels. They brought in Myers in year two.
So he likes Myers, but you need the Haas, and that's what they got with Davante Adams.
Go get a Haas. Yep. Okay, and again, I don't think McDaniels is picking players.
No.
But if you're giving the coach feedback on what you can make work with the roster, he's worked with some of these guys. I'm not sure I view that as a good thing.
But anyway. I would say we've focused so much on the quarterbacks, and rightfully so, but he did maximize Bourne and Henry compared to what we've seen. Henry had a pretty good year this year, but they really, really focused on him in the red zone, and he was a touchdown guy in 2021, even with the bad quarterback.
No, and again, Bourne had a career year. I was just looking at Myers had a pretty good year that year as well.
True.
Okay. So those are some concerns. You can jump in on Josh McDaniels and the hire. We'll get the grab bag, clip du jour. WEEI Afternoons takes over at 2 o'clock. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of the football postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. Nobody does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. What did the Rich Kiefen Stats and Info Department find out about Josh McDaniels and his track?
Well, digging into Josh McDaniels when he was a play caller, so that's both as an offensive coordinator as well as his 2 stints as a head coach. Pretty remarkable. 18 years as a play caller for a guy that's in real life not even that old.
Yeah, he's 50?
I think he's like 50 years old. And so for 18 years, that's a ton of experience. He's been in the NFL even longer. Of course, he was an assistant on those, you know, early championship Patriots teams. His first year as a play caller was 06, famously a horrible wide receivers year. But Tom Brady and McDaniels had the 7th best offense. This is all just points scored. This is points per game.
And to his credit, that was an offense that got a lot better as the year went along.
It did. 07, record-breaking offense with Tom Brady. They were first. 08, Brady goes down. Matt Castle still had the 8th best offense. He then goes to Denver, where Kyle Orton is his primary starting quarterback, and they have the 20th ranked offense. In 2010, Orton, again, his primary quarterback, He's fired after 12 games. The team finished 19th. The Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department didn't dig into where they stood after 12
That's
weeks.
Fine.
It's more at the end of the year.
You didn't need to go prorate those numbers. That's fine. End of year numbers. Yeah.
And then a real lost year, forgotten year for Josh McDaniels. In 2011, he was the Rams' offensive coordinator. It was year two of Sam Bradford, who was the rookie of the year before, and they finished last in offense. They were 32nd in the league. He comes back to New England, and from 12 to 19, he has Tom Brady, and they finish the following: first, third, fourth, third, third, second, fourth, seventh.
Nice.
Pretty great.
Real great.
2020 is the Cam Newton year. They have the 27th ranked offense. 2021, Mac Jones' rookie year. Somehow, some way, they have the sixth highest scoring team.
Again, 15th. I just want to 15th in yards. I know we're just doing points,
yeah,
but
yeah.
They were, I think the points were maybe a touch misleading that year, but still good year with Mac. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he goes and takes the Raiders job in year one. Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams have great years. Derek Carr is his quarterback. They finished 12th, so maybe not as bad as people might remember it just because the head coaching tenure was so bad. But the offense was 12th his first year. His second year, where it's Jimmy Garoppolo, Aiden O'Connell, and Stidham, they finished 23rd, and once again, he's fired in the middle of the season. So the thing I'll just reiterate with McDaniels, too, is the Patriots didn't hire him to be the head coach. So maybe the worst blemish on McDaniel's whole resume is how badly the two head coaching tenures went, and even throw in the fact that he agreed verbally to a job.
And I would add that.
I would.
Yeah, I would definitely
So, like,
add
the Colts, Raiders, and Broncos, if they hear that name, they're disgusted. But you're not hiring him to do that. You know that he's going to be the offensive coordinator for the third time. And even if you take out – so we were having a hard time crunching these numbers, but in 18 years –
uh-huh.
They had a top eight offense 12 times, mm-hmm. but in 8 years
without Brady,
they had a top 12 offense or a top eight offense twice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the Castle year and the Mac year. He had the bad year he had bad years as head coaches, Denver and the Raiders.
So Mac and Castle are okay. And then, Orton, Garoppolo, O'Connell, Carr, Newton.
Yeah, Bradford, his year with the Rams as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to throw even more question into this, I didn't pick up on this the first time. You didn't include 05 with McDaniels?
No, was he the play caller then?
I thought, well, don't you remember, Bill, this is like the original Bill not giving out titles.
Oh, boy, did I screw this up? Well, the Rich Keefe Stats and Info.
I don't think you screwed it up necessarily, because I think he was 10th in points, 7th in yards in 05, which is better than I remembered. I believe Weiss and Cornell exited after 04, right?
Oh, so I think the whole thing is a sham. Yeah, he was technically the quarterback's coach that year, but you're right, he probably was calling plays.
Yeah, but maybe that was before Josh had the title of that, because Bill would play around with that. But yeah, I didn't pick up on that the first time. I think he might have called plays in 05, but
he was technically offensive coordinator finally in 06. They gave him the job. But you're right, he probably did call plays in 05.
Gray area.
Don't quote us on this. It wouldn't be the first time the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department got something wrong. But yeah, I would look at that, too. It's like, all right, it's a Brady year. The offense was, what, top 10, you said? 10th?
Yep. Yeah, 10th in points.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. You were the 10th highest scoring team with Tom Brady. Cool.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's very impressive.
The year before in 04, they were probably their fourth. Okay.
I'm hung up on this, and I don't know how, I don't even know if it's true. My belief and the evidence I would use is that Josh McDaniels hasn't taken an interview since he was fired by the Raiders that I know of. Did he take any interviews last year?
I don't think so.
He hasn't taken any this year. I don't think he had anything lined up. So, people will tell you, oh yeah, he has options around the league. Who? Like who? Not to be our brag of the week, Keith, but when I asked this to Phil on TV last week.
Oh boy.
He goes, brag. He goes, I think if Bobby Slowick was out in Houston, he'd go to Houston with Caserio. And I'm like, okay, well, that one at least kind of makes sense to me, but Bobby Slowick's not going anywhere.
No.
So fine, maybe that one, if Bobby Slowick got a head coaching job, which he won't, fine. The other one that came up a couple of times, and Bedard said it too, is Detroit.
Yeah, I don't understand that connection.
I mean, maybe. I've now heard it multiple times. He had no interview there. What's his connection? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But number one, I don't believe, and my evidence is he doesn't have any interviews, that he would get interviews anywhere else. But secondarily, should I even care about that? If no one else would hire him, why are you? I am admittedly hung up on that.
Yeah. And me less so.
Yeah, you less so. From a lot of the feedback we get, other people less so too. That's important to me. No one else views this guy as their offensive coordinator.
Well, the
so why do you? Because he's cheap? Why do you?
So the one thing I would say about that is, like, there's no need to rush because you're not going to lose out on him. Right? Like, there may have been a little bit more of a reason to rush on Mike Vrabel because you're like, well, you got Tom Brady lurking around
That's
out there.
True.
Maybe Mike Vrabel takes a job somewhere else. With McDaniels, maybe you could have interviewed more candidates and maybe been surprised. But I think it was a bag job regardless. I think they wanted him anyway. And now they're probably thinking, all right, we get this guy now. We can start figuring out running backs coach, line coach.
D coordinator, which they hired earlier today. And Billy will have more details on coming up. The thing with McDaniels, you know, now that he's here and he's your play caller and you know he's going to be in that role, the one thing you hear over and over again, and I think we have evidence that flies in the face of this, he's not going to go anywhere. He's here. He's not going to take another job. Again, if he was so highly sought after, why do you feel that way, number one? But two, Liam Cohen staying with Tampa. Mm-hmm. He passed on the Jacksonville job. Ben Johnson stayed an extra year in Detroit. Like, I don't even know how sound that logic is, but if you really want to keep your coordinator, you can pay him. And I don't think it's that bad that you lose a coordinator. I just go right back to the McVay tree and hire the next guy and keep that machine going is what I would do. But that's just me. You guys can jump in. 617-779-7937. You have Andy Hart and Fitzy and Ted Johnson today on WEEI Afternoons beginning at 2 o'clock. We'll get you our clip du jour, Billy Lanny, with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag. Just call my name.
Grab bag.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's time.
Certainly it's time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, which was mostly spent talking about Josh McDaniels coming on back to the New England Patriots. Terrell Williams, the D coordinator, we hit on briefly as well. We had our guy Terp in, talk some Celtics. All of it available to you on the Odyssey app. Just download the Jones and Keefe podcast. Listen to it at your leisure anytime you want.
Yeah.
Middle of the night. You wake up in the middle of the night. You're like, I can't sleep. Turn it on.
Yeah, you're tossing, turning, counting sheep. Pop on Jones and Keefe.
That's what I would do.
There you go.
The Boston Bruins back in action tonight, Jones, taking on the Devils. 7 o'clock puck drop tonight.
Oh.
See if the Bees can string some wins together here, get some points.
I saw.
I want some points.
Captain Marchand benched 2 games ago.
Yeah.
And prior to that, not happy with Rich Keefe.
No.
I saw he was barking at people today at the morning skate. Ready?
Oh, boy. Well, I didn't say anything.
Adam Pellerin. Bruins, so this is Bruins sideline here. Bruins reporter.
He's usually between the benches, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, when he's not in the suite with the moms. Bruins just wrapped up morning skate. Brad Marchand told the team during stretch to clean it up.
Uh oh.
And they better be ready to go tonight.
Man,
that's a.
I agree.
It's an angry captain. You've angered him now.
Devils have been all right. They're third in the Metro. Bruins are currently in a real log jam in the division. So they have 52 points, but they've played more games than both Montreal and Ottawa, also at 52 points. Tampa Bay has 53 points, and they are a few up on Detroit. So right now, I would say in the division, only Buffalo is completely out of it. Detroit needs to figure out. They've lost 3 in a row, so they're playing their way out of
it. Yeah, what did they end up losing? 6 in a row? That was their losing streak? What that cost them, and I know they picked up a point here and there throughout that streak, maybe just 1 point
in that streak. I think 1, actually, yeah.
But what that cost them was any breathing room they had, because now they are in a log jam and they have games out of hand against a bunch of these teams. That's what that cost them, and that's why Cam Neely comes out and says, yeah, we got to consider two pathways, including perhaps retooling.
They are catching the Devils at a good time. New Jersey has lost four in a row.
Someone say they're due.
Someone would say that, yes.
Avengers! Grab bag.
Meanwhile, the Celtics are in action late game. You're going to have to stay up late. It's part of their West Coast road trip, taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. Although no Kawhi Leonard in this one, Celtics have a few guys questionable, like Jrue Holiday and Al Horford.
Well, it's a back-to-back as well, right? So you'd imagine maybe they manage Horford on the front end, Porzingis on the back end.
Oh, yeah, you could do that.
Maybe you do something like that. The Lakers game is tomorrow.
I was going to say,
They're going anywhere. They'll be at Staples. Again, Golden State was shorthanded. What could you really glean from that game? And they dominated in that game. What could you really glean? This feels like a similar one tonight.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'd like to see them string some wins together and right the ship, because they've been a 500 team for too long.
That is true.
It's my
grab bag,
and I need it now.
Okay. Kevin O'Connell signed a multi-year extension as the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. For a brief second, there was talk during the playoffs about, you know, would they trade for him and all this other stuff, but it looks like no. Kevin O'Connell is staying with Minnesota, who was great in the regular season, of course, one and done in the playoffs.
I saw Jay Glazer, who had the report that teams were calling about O'Connell rather defending his report. He's like, I didn't say they were ever going to trade him. He's just like, I saw teams lining up. Look,
the Scoops game is a wild one.
It is.
People get really mad.
It is a wild game. Yeah. I don't discredit that there was any, you know, animosity in the negotiations there. They let him go right up to the final year of his deal.
Yeah.
I was hoping the Patriots at least made a call on that. But, yeah, I'd say all that's out of the way. He's going to be there. He's a good coach, so good move by Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I think they're about to sign their GM to an extension as well.
I have a structured settlement, and I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877.
Grab bag.
The Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2025 was announced yesterday. Of course, we on the show made our votes known. We cast our ballot, as it were. We came up with four Hall of Famers: Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez, Ichiro, and CC Sabathia. Well, two out of those four are going in. Real shocker, no Manny, no A-Rod. But Ichiro goes in, CC Sabathia goes in,
boo.
And Billy Wagner.
Big time boo.
Closer Billy Wagner goes in.
Billy Wagner got on our All-Star Hall of Fame ballots yesterday. I think only two of the five of us even voted for Billy Wagner. Now he's in the Hall of Fame.
Now he's in the Hall of Fame. Not my Hall of Fame.
You guys are in the wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Nick was a big Billy Wagner proponent.
He was a one-time Rolling Stones Relief Man of the Year.
One time.
Maybe I should have given him a little bit more credit. But, yeah, you would never really consider him the best closer in the game.
No, the Red Sox got him late in his career. I was like, oh, that's cool. Nice pitcher. Never was like, boy, that's a future Hall of Famer they have.
Yeah, he was all right.
I can't fully decide. I know which way I'm leaning. I can't fully decide on how I feel about Ichiro being one vote away from unanimous. I think I respect the guy who didn't vote for
him. Do you?
Yes, I think I do.
I think the unanimous thing is so stupid. So for years and years and years, nobody was ever unanimous, and those were always mistakes.
Like,
Willie Mays wasn't in.
That was stupid, but now there's been a unanimous.
Right.
But I don't think that was the logic. I think somebody probably just looked at it, and they're like, Ichiro was fine, not a Hall of Famer.
No, that might be true, but I'm saying, but there's been too many guys, like, so Greg Maddux and Ken Griffey Jr., and so somebody, but for a long time, people would say, well, Ted Williams wasn't, so this guy wasn't, which
Babe
is
Ruth,
such dumb.
Babe Ruth
so
wasn't.
Dumb.
Yeah,
so
but I don't think people do that anymore,
but now
because
that
there
Rivera's
has been
in,
a unanimous guy.
Yeah, yeah. But some guy was just like, no, Ichiro's not
a
Hall of Famer.
Let me tell you,
what's
better?
That guy's deal?
Well, what's better, to go along with the herd like I did? Yes, I didn't really even want to put Ichiro on my ballot.
But you did.
I went along with the herd. I should have dug my heels in.
But what's that guy's
Manny
stance
and
A-Rod? He's not?
I don't know that he hit 19 home runs. That's what he hit on a good year for him.
Runs?
Did he ever hit 19?
It's not
the best
home
year?
Run derby. It's who are the best players.
But he never won.
It's baseball. It doesn't matter.
But
if he never won.
That's important, I think. And you called him yesterday a slap hitter. Like, great. He's a slap hitter in the Hall of Fame.
Slap it around a little bit.
Yeah.
He was an MVP. He was Rookie of the Year, 10-time All-Star, 10-time Gold Glover.
Why do you like Manny and A-Rod more?
They're better players.
Right. That's why. Because they hit for power.
They suck dingers, but I mean, I'm not going to only have the home run heroes. I think a guy like Ichiro, who had 250 hits every year.
I want to know who it is. Who was the one who didn't
vote
before? Before it's too dangerous. Like, if it was Bradfoe.
Get him on the show.
We know it wasn't Bradfoe. Bradfoe tweeted out at least that box was ballot, right?
I think Bradford somehow voted for like 15 guys. It's like, aren't you limited to 10?
No. He voted for Pedroia 15 times what he did. Yeah,
he's like, obviously get Dustin in there. Here, another one for Dustin.
But
he voted for Wagner.
I want to know who it is. I want to know who it is before I fully commit to this, but I think I respect the person who didn't vote for Ichiro. I'm not one of these who goes, who are you? Ichiro shouldn't have been unanimous.
You know what my guess is?
What?
And maybe they've cleaned this up a little bit over the years. Ever since the Royd guys have been on there, I feel like there's like a blank ballot guy.
I'm not going to vote for anybody.
Well, that would be a bad read. If we find out it's that, I no longer respect it. I need info
on who. Or nailed it to the wrong place.
I need info on who it is and why they did it, but I think I respect them, whoever you are.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah.
Grab bag.
Liam Cohen is staying with the Tampa Bay Bucks, not taking the Jacksonville Jaguars job. That seemed to be reported early on that he was going to go to the Jags, and that's not happening.
Yeah.
So they remain in need of a coach.
I like him as a head coaching candidate. In fact, there was a time where I thought the Patriots wouldn't even get a side glance from the Ben Johnsons of the world that I was advocating for Liam Cohen here. But passing on Jacksonville, probably a good career move. Do you have, there was another move with Tampa in their front office just came out. Is that in the grab bag?
No, go ahead. What do you have?
Tom Brady has hired a GM with the Vegas Raiders.
Who you got?
And it is from Tampa. It is John Spytek, who would overlap with Brady during his time in Tampa. He's now the GM of the Vegas Raiders.
How do you like that?
So he's not staying in Tampa, unlike Liam Cohen. That's true. You got to bring your spying operation along to
Vegas.
That's true. Very smart.
A lot of success.
Yeah.
You are my sunshine, my only
grab bag.
Khalil Mack coming back. The Chargers pass rusher said after they got bounced, he's got to think about it. Mm-hmm. Apparently he has thought about it. He's coming back. Free agent.
Return to the Mac.
Return to the Mac. Mm-hmm. I'd bring him in. I think he only had like 6 sacks last year. He's not what he used to be.
He's going to be 34 in about a
calm
month.
Down, Nick. Good Lord. Let the guy live.
Yeah. No, you know what?
Let the guy breathe.
More Jelani Tavai and pieces like this rushing the passer next year. That's what I want.
Grab bag.
All right. Billy Landy was telling us about this. I think Roto World had it. A fantasy football punishment. There's always a lot of good ones every year. And it must have been a bunch of college kids. And so the guy who came in last place had to, in the cafeteria, walk a marathon.
Wait, around the perimeter of the cafeteria?
Yeah.
Outside or
no,
inside?
In.
Inside. Oh, I missed
so
that when
inside.
He told us
that. So kids are having the chicken patty and enjoying their lives.
Yeah,
this kid just had to walk.
And they're like, what's this weirdo? The best part of it is you're like, what's this weirdo
doing
walking around the cafeteria?
Took him over 9 hours.
Yeah.
Because you're walking a marathon.
Well, first of all, I would smoke that.
I couldn't do that.
You couldn't?
Walk for 9 straight hours?
You couldn't do that? Yes, you could.
I think all my joints would lock up. I think I'd go into some sort of like a attack.
They do challenges like this on Big Brother. I know you're not a fan of Big Brother.
No, I'm not a fan.
They'll do challenges of this where, like, you know, some soccer mom is walking around in the backyard and they turn it into this dramatic feat of strength that they just walked for like 10 hours straight. And you're like, it's not that hard. You could easily do that.
Dude, there is
9 hours? You could do that. You first of all, it wouldn't take you 9 hours to walk.
The last episode of The Traitors, not to give anything away as to what happened, but they're stupid. Little like thing that they have to do in the middle of the episode, they're just basically walking up a hill.
Oh, yeah.
The one guy from The Biggest Loser is like, I thought I could do anything, but I can't do this.
I thought that was
like,
crazy.
You're walking up a hill. Dude. Everybody else is doing it like 10 times.
First of all, that guy's had a heart attack, he said. So first of all, he's like, I've had a heart attack. At one point, I weighed 400 pounds or whatever because I was on Biggest Loser.
Did he win Biggest Loser? Because he's a thin guy now.
I think that's what they said.
Hell
and I'm like, what? Whatever made you think you were good at stuff like this? Well, it sounds to me like you'd be terrible at an event like this.
One of my buddies,
a competition like this.
When we got out of college, one of my buddies said we were all like looking for jobs.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, if I don't get a job soon, he's like, I'm just going to gain 400 pounds and then go on The Biggest Loser and win it. And I was like, that's one way to go about it. I'm like, good luck. I'm like, I guess.
Honestly?
He's like, no, I could do it.
That's not a bad plan.
It's like,
sit around.
Now, he must have got a job quickly. He never ended up going down this road, but this was a plan of his. I'm like, oh, man.
That was a time.
I think there was like a good cash prize.
A lot of, you know, friends maybe were like, I'm going to go on American Idol. I'm a great singer.
No. I'm going to gain.
I have great dance moves. I'm going to go on So You Think You Can Dance. He goes, no. I'm just going to gain.
And he was like a thin dude, too. He's like, I'm going to put on like 400 pounds and then go on that show and win. I was like, I guess. It's outside the box.
A good idea.
Yeah.
Grab bag.
All right. So also just recently installed back in the White House, apparently Donald Trump has a Diet Coke button.
Yeah, it's back.
So he hits a button, boom, Diet Coke's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a wish from a genie. You had a button, boom, Diet Coke.
Yeah.
So the question for everybody here, if you had a button and you could get drink or food, let's open up to food.
Food too.
All right, but you got to be specific with what it is.
Uh-huh.
What would that drink or food item be?
Yeah. Yours is a Celsius? What
Celsius.
Is yours?
Yeah, the orange Celsius.
Yeah, that's a good move.
No, mine, it's tough because you would get sick of like any one thing, I think. So I might go iced coffee because I could drink at least two of those every day. And if that's the button, then I'll do that.
I thought coffee. Iced is probably
iced coffee,
better.
Yeah.
Can we open it up to, do we sound like alcoholics if you open it up to beer?
No, I think that's a good call. I thought about that.
If you want like a nice, like I'd like a nice frosty Coors Light, like whenever I could get one, just like boom.
Like I think if you're a president, I think you have the right to kick back and enjoy.
Yeah, at the end of the workday.
You breakfast, whatever.
Yeah.
You have a lot of decisions to make.
End of the day, whatever.
You're going to have a breakfast beer and a lunch beer, and then at the end of the day, maybe a couple more.
That's true.
Yeah, I think a Coors Light button is what I would like.
Billy?
Yeah.
See, for me, I think it's just simple like a cheese pizza.
Cheese pizza?
Just for me.
You're Kevin McAllister.
Just keep it simple because, like, I don't know if I could narrow it down to a beverage. And, like, I think just a plain cheese pizza sometimes is just so simple and perfect and easy.
Hmm.
Like, I would say nachos, but then it's like, well, what are you going to put on the nachos? Like, no.
Pizza's special because it's the only thing that tastes like pizza. It's bread, sauce, meat, cheese. What isn't that we eat?
I love toppings, but just a plain cheese right out of the oven pizza.
But food, a lovely cheese pizza just for me.
Food does invite. It's like your Diet Coke button, that's going to be very consistent.
Yeah.
I think most beverages are going to be very consistent. Food does invite maybe a little
variations on it.
That's the word.
That's
variance.
Why
you've
got to keep it simple.
Yeah.
I had a cheeseburger club.
That's yours, Nick.
I would probably go bacon cheeseburger, but I could not use the drum.
Three
all day.
Three
all the way, whatever it was.
The daggers. Best daggers in town. That's not bad. I like that one, too. Yeah.
Here comes the grab bag. Grab bag.
All right, let's go to the best NBA performers from last night. Jones, we have five candidates. Nikola Jokic, triple-double, 27, 13, and 10. Anthony Davis, 29, 16 boards, 5 assists. Karl Anthony Towns had 25, 16, and 6. Tyrese Maxey, 28 points, 10 assists. And DeAndre Ayton, remember him?
Mm.
22 points, 15 rebounds for Portland in a win over Miami.
I'm a sucker for a triple-double. I guess I'll go. I feel like I've gone Jokic a couple of times.
It normally is Jokic.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the right.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Laskanik.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, folks, here we go. He is not a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
However,
Ricardo Rincon.
Who is it?
Ricardo Rincon.
No, it's not.
Wow.
It's not.
That
would have been a good
guess.
Talk
about calling your shot.
He is an outfielder.
Not Ricardo Rincon, yep.
He had a 18th place MVP finish as well as a 20th place MVP finish.
Nice.
Never an all-star, but had a career high, single season high, 44 home runs 1 year.
Oh, that's real nice.
That's a juicy number right
there.
He had
44.
Nope.
He had 44 home runs and finished 18th in the MVP voting.
He finished 20th that year.
Wow.
Because that was the year 2000.
Did you tell us which side he swings from? I don't think you did.
I didn't.
Yeah.
He was a right-handed stick and a right-handed arm.
Don't.
He'd toss it in from the right side.
Okay, 44.
Glove on the left hand. Throwing it in. From the outfield, he was a outfielder. He played for Houston, Texas, and the Mets. Far and away the majority of his games with the Houston Astros.
Okay.
He broke into the majors in 1997. His final year was 2005.
That's a quick career.
Three times he hit 25 or more home runs, but far and away his best year was the year 2000, where he hit 314, had 44 bombs, 122 RBI, and an OPS over 1,000.
Wow.
And he finished 20th in the MVP.
Okay, 2000. Like, to me, that sounds so recent, but that's a long time ago.
It was Houston?
Yeah.
It was with Houston when he did that. He had a 6.3 war that year.
Where else did he play?
The Mets and the Rangers.
No.
He played on a couple of playoff teams, 97, 98, and 01 Astros.
Who were the Killer Bees? Like, think of those teams. Like, it's got to be one. Who played with those guys? We got Biggio, Bagwell, Bell. It's not Bell.
He's not a Killer Bee. I can give you
not
that.
Not Berkman.
It's not Big Puma.
Big Puma must have been an all-star.
Oh, Big Puma.
I think he's just a first baseman.
Yeah,
right?
Puma. He's like Cardinals.
Is he in the Hall of Fame? Puma was great.
No, he's nice player.
He's not the Hall of Fame.
I'm stumped. Do you see it anywhere? Twitch
Dark
chat?
Bell.
Let's see. Twitch. That's not Dark Bell.
I didn't officially guess Dark
Twitch
Bell.
Twitch chat has it, and the text line does have it.
They do? The text line has it?
Yeah, they both do.
I never would have got this. It's Richard Hidalgo?
He got it!
Richard Hidalgo hit 44 home runs?
44 Damn. Bombs.
With a 1,000 OPS.
Could have given me a million guesses.
No chance I was getting that.
Dude, it was a stud. Yeah, 2000 Richard Hidalgo. You don't remember the Hidalgo season?
No.
Nicknamed Doggy?
Was that his nickname?
That's right.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, he could play.
All right,
one of the forgotten stars of the 2000 season.
Twitch chat and the text line. Right around Y2K, he had 44 home runs.
Yeah.
A 314 average, well over 100 RBIs.
This guy's a machine.
And an OPS of 1,000, and I barely even remember the name.
No.
Okay, well, that makes him random.
He was pretty random. Yeah, he was.
It's your random baseball player of the day. Each and every day in the grab bag on Jones.
Jeff Kent won the MVP that year.
Oh, so Bonds.
Beating out Hidalgo, who had the same number of votes as teammate Moises Alou.
For the MVP?
Yeah, that was back in the day when Houston was in the National League. Mm. And one more vote than previous random baseball player of the year, the Octopus, Antonio Alfonseca.
Oh, we gotta familiarize ourselves more with the MVP votes in specific year.
You know who's ahead of him? Brian Giles, yesterday's guy.
This is Keith's wheelhouse.
Wow.
We got to really dig in on the 2000 MVP votes.
Chip away tomorrow.
We'll be able to
predict
tomorrow's random baseball player of the day. We'll see what WEEI Afternoons has coming up. Hart, Fitzy, and Ted Johnson. Plus, we'll get you our clip du jour next.
All right, time now for the clip du jour here on the Jones and Keefe Show, WEEI. Jones, ready for that?
Oh, that sounds great. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, it is a question that I believe you brought up about gas pumps. Let's hear it.
It's important. Can I ask you a stupid question?
Why stop now?
Does the gas pump slower when it's cold out like today? I was at the pump for it. Does it really?
It absolutely is.
Right?
No.
Does it not?
I think so.
Because today it was when I talk about
just needs a refill.
When I talk about not having patience, it was absurdly slow filling up.
On the other side of you, like directly,
there was a guy across from me. Yes,
yeah.
So you think he was?
I think when you're both draining from the same side, it slows down. Because I bet as soon as that guy was done,
the guy started before me.
Yeah.
The guy started before me.
He's done.
Yeah, keep that music going, Nick. Yeah. The guy started before me, I finished first. And I'll tell you.
Hell yeah.
I'll tell you. I didn't have the patience for it. I'm nowhere near a full tank.
How much
did
that have to do with the fact that it was 10 degrees?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Why I quit the
weather? I mean, like your patience cold.
No,
it was taking forever.
Had nothing to do with that. It was just that it was such a ridiculously long pump. That's what it was.
So a lot of different theories. Is it just cold? Is it somebody that's sharing a pump? Or is it just maybe it's a little low?
Yeah, I don't know.
We all have different theories on this.
I was asking.
And then that opened the floodgates to just dump hot water on your car, which we're getting mixed feedback on.
Yeah, you ever heard that before, Hart? Andy Hart of WEI Afternoons. Hot water is bad for your car? Is that true?
I've never heard it, but it makes sense.
It does?
I mean,
when it's freezing out.
Like anything that's cold, throwing hot water on it is bad.
Yeah.
Like it's going to do some damage. Metal, glass, your hands. Don't they even tell you to be careful? Like if you go outside, don't put your hands that are frostbitten right under hot water because you won't feel it. You'll burn them. They'll hot on cold, bad.
Man. Mm-hmm. So many things.
Can we get back to the pump thing?
So many things.
Yeah, what's your take on the
pump?
Yeah, it's definitely. So the two things that clearly low on gas in the big tank in the ground or whatever, and the guy across from you, if there's like people everywhere, it definitely slows
it down.
Siphoning.
And I've had those. When you see,
and it's like,
so what is it, like
tick,
tenths,
tick.
Hundredths, and then that third number, if that third number is going like one, two, three, you're like,
bad news.
Because that's usually going so fast you can't even read it.
It's humming. You're like, there goes my pennies right out the window.
Billy.
Pennies are gone. I'm losing pennies.
I'm with Billy. I think you're also cold, so it's
not
you're noticing
this, trust me, I don't want to be outside when it's cold. But
were you standing there, or did you do the click and
slow.
Go in the car?
I never do the click. I just
like,
stand there.
Latch it up. I always do that.
Jones leaves his car on and smokes a butt.
And
uses a cell phone.
I don't do the click. Because I'll be paying attention to my phone. I won't be paying attention to what's going on.
You
I'll
can slow hear it. It clicks violently.
No, I'm just saying. I'll just stand there. It's fine. I always stand there.
Man of the people. Pumps his own gas and doesn't even use the little click thing.
That's true. That's me. Mm-hmm. And I did.
Although, quote, I'm not washing my own car.
No, I mean.
He did say that.
Never wash my car. What do you guys have coming up?
Real quick, this just into the news desk. Aaron Glenn to the Jets.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll rip out the front page.
So this just in.
Yes.
The Lions will never compete for a championship game again.
I agree.
They're toast.
They're done.
Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, who showed who he is, soft as puppy poo.
Two great coordinators gone.
They lost a D-line coach, defensive coordinator.
Good point.
They lost their offensive coordinator. They are porked in Detroit.
They're in a lot of trouble. I would agree with that. Window closed.
Yep. You had a poll question for the people on Josh McDaniels, right?
I did. You want the Josh McDaniels one or today's poll?
I thought it was McDaniels. Polls. Maybe I misread it.
What? I'm big with polls.
I understand.
I like a good poll.
I know
you do. I got my polls crossed.
So today's poll is, now that you have Vrabel and a coaching staff in place, is it realistic to expect that the Patriots can/will compete for the playoffs in 2025.
You got that all in the character limit? You
got a little wordy?
Yeah.
Could I have tightened that up a little bit?
You got a blue check mark? How'd you get all those letters in there?
I do not have a blue check mark. Yeah. Last I checked, it was 73% absolutely. So Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels, Elliot Wolf, people are expecting you to pull a Commanders and compete for a playoff spot, get in, whatever.
I love it.
I think that's problematic for him. Because in case you haven't noticed, the roster still stinks.
I was going to say, it's year one for these guys, but as a fan, it's like year six.
Yeah.
Oh, in the rebuild?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're sick and tired of this crap. I will say, I like the defensive coordinator hire and don't know a ton about him, but just the idea that I thought the D-line might have been one of the more underperforming aspects of the team last year. Step forward. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get Dietrich Wise back and make him a part of that. Godshot. Like, they have talent there that... And Aiden Hutchinson, I'm sure you guys saw that clip.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He seemed to like him.
I like that.
So, he would probably like anybody because he's really good and he's going to succeed under most. But we got a lot of reaction to the Patriots coordinator situation, Josh McDaniels being back, the positivity that it's creating in Patriot Nation. Also have our little guest corner with Adam Schefter at 3:45 and then Scal at 4.
Very good.
All right. Talking Celtics, that 500 basketball team over a quarter of a season.
Mark those down on WEEI Afternoons, Hart, Fitzy, and Ted Johnson. The crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. It's here. The prime rib dinner is back at the 9. 16 ounces of slow-roasted USDA choice prime rib served with your choice of two sides. Available every Friday after 4 p.m. and all day Saturday and Sunday. You gotta love the 9. Stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. We're back tomorrow at 10 here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.